Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here along with Sin City Steve, and today we're going to talk to one of the, I can call you a grizzled seasoned veteran of the wrestling industry. Mr. Brian Idol. Brian, how you doing, man?
What's up, man? Yeah, I mean, I guess you could call me that. What do I know? But, it's been a lot of years somehow.
Well, you know, I want to start just with what I love from your personal website. And everyone, I encourage you to go to Brian Idol's website at brianidol.com. You have a mantra, basically, on the website. And it says, the quest for individuality resonates in all aspects of Brian Idol's life, which are defined by his passion, dedication, self-discipline, and accountability. These values are the foundation that fuels Brian's work ethic, business mind spirit, competitive fire, and expectations. Brian Idol's journey can be summed up in a simple philosophy: make this world exactly what you want it to be. That is fucking phenomenal, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'd like to say, though, you know, aside from that phrase itself, you know, I can't take full credit because I actually, I stole half of that from a karate class sign-up sheet and the other half from a Summer's Eve douche box. So
that is a great, I got it from a karate flyer and a douche box.
You know, and I feel like, you know, these days things have really changed, you know, because back in the day when you had to use the bathroom, you know, you would read what you could get within arm's reach.
Right.
And now you got your cell phone, you know, which is really cool. But like, you know, I used to know all about things like Mentadent and you know, AIM toothpaste.
Yes.
You know, I don't know the same information about it. You know, it's actually how I discovered that Colgate Palmolive actually owns like a lot of those brands, you know, because you'd be reading the back of the label of Aquafresh and you're like, huh.
Right.
You know, they Colgate Palmolive on the bottom. So they actually own Colgate toothpaste and Aquafresh toothpaste, I believe, if it's burned into my memory correctly. But anyway, yes, back to the phrase, you know, make this world exactly what you want it to be. It's a little less self-centered than it sounds, because I mean, it's meant to reach out to the rest of the world from yourself. Like, you know, that's probably not the best way to explain it, but what I'm trying to say is by being the best version of you and fulfilling yourself in the best way you can then be the best version of yourself to give to the world, which in turn makes the world a better place. Cause if you're not, you know, if you're not walking around trying to be like the Joker and inciting chaos and bad vibes everywhere, or feeling scorned and rejected, and instead you feel inspired and motivated, you know, that energy feeds off into the rest of the world. And if people are giving that off, then overall that makes the world a better place, which, you know, sounds corny or whatever, but I think more than ever in this, you know, in this time, you know, aside from the things people argue about or debate about or their beliefs or whatever, just the overall idea of that, I think we need it more than ever, man. So, I mean, I feel like it, I'm glad that you dig that, you know, that phrase and, you know, or mantra, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I would say that it's really important. It's really important to me. Hold on a second. I got a call. I got a block out here. All right. I'm back.
Yep.
And I don't know. These phone apps, man, Zoom lets calls in, I guess. So, but yeah, you know, it's just more than ever somebody needs that. So I'm glad you dig it. I mean, we're not going to spend too much more time on that. But I do have a website, like you said, brianidol.com. It gets updated once in a while. Been a little slow during the pandemic, but sure. Things are starting to pick up now.
Good. Steve, why don't you ask that first question you got there? Because I think this is a very important question in terms of sure. Brian's career here.
Yeah, definitely, man. So obviously, just looking at your social media, We saw where you were going to be opening a training facility in Queens, New York, that's going to be a part of the WWN family. Do us a favor. Tell us and our listeners and viewers about your plans for that facility.
Okay, so it actually opened last week.
Nice.
Awesome. So we're 1 week in. It's off to a good start. I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, as far as being a part of the WWN thing, like we you know, the FTW school, I was the WWN head trainer for like 2 years with their first school. You know, I've been training people a long time. I'm probably one of the only trainers around that's trained people in WWE, you know, TNA. I can't even name all the feds, you know, AEW, MLW, Evolve, ROH. I've literally trained somebody in every one of those feds. At one point, there was somebody active in all of the feds at once. So,
right.
Awesome. You know, as far as, you know, they just lay my credentials out there really fast. But, you know, so, yeah, we're always been a part of the WWN family, and we continue to be. And they're actually working on some exciting new stuff, you know, since Evolve has, you know, now been bought out by WWE. There's some other projects coming up on the horizon. I want to say possibly, but I'm pretty sure they're set in stone. And that's part of the thing that influenced me to open the school. And, you know, actually that school, that whole thing was actually the Evolve school that was coming. And, you know, but with the changes with WWE and this and that, they went in a different direction, and I saw an opportunity there. And I work alongside them. So I thought it was still too good of an opportunity not to take, and too good of a facility not to bring it to the public, because it's got a 24-hour gym in there. You know, it's got a ring in there. It's got heating and air conditioning, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but for anybody that's ever been to wrestling school, 9 out of 10 of them, no AC in the summer, definitely no heat in the winter, no hot water, usually a small, filthy bathroom. And, I mean, some great wrestlers come out of places like that. And, listen, I've run schools that are, you know, no heat, no AC, and it's not unheard of. It's not a bad thing even, but definitely nice, definitely a good convenience when you have it, you know, a step up, you know, you're moving on up. So really cool. I'm really excited about it. You know, we'll see where it goes. But, you know, just like anything else, man, it's my attitude on it is it's not a make or break thing. It's more honestly when I do it, it's not a business venture like, oh, my God, this is all I need to do to survive or whatever. Right. This is like the fourth school in New York I've had, maybe the fifth. You know, as long as it feels like everyone appreciates it and I'm actually bringing in a lot of other local feds. You know, I didn't mention that. And I think I haven't really mentioned it publicly yet, but I'll do it here. So this is going to be the first wrestling school of its kind where it's not just the FTW World Wrestling Academy. It's not just the official school of WWN. There's other feds that are coming in. I don't want to name them yet because the ink's not dry on some of the paper, but there's other feds coming in, and I'm really referring to this whole thing as a co-op. Mm. So it's going to be, instead of where local indies fight with each other for airtime and space and territory, I'm trying to make a thing where we all melt together and everybody has a chance to put their own little stamp on something. And what that does for the people that are joining the school and training is it creates a maximum opportunity for them to be seen by all of these feds, get bookings. But, you know, I'd like to say that I'm overseeing the whole thing. So you're still getting some of the really solid training, you know, like with, you know, one of the trainers is Jack Gallo. You know, he's a very good indie wrestler, and, you know, he had a couple matches in Evolve. And I think, you know, that same year he had two very big injuries and he missed like a whole year of wrestling. Otherwise I think he probably would be much more of a popular name by now. Yeah. But, you know, he's trained dudes like, Tristan Tai, who, you know, I don't know what name he uses. I forget, they change everybody's name in MLW, but he's in MLW. You know, he trained, Gabriel Sky, who does really good in Beyond Wrestling and a bunch of other things. So, you know, from our program, we know what we're doing. We have guys. So it's me overseeing it is a great opportunity, mixing in with all these other feds. You know, it only benefits the people that are joining wrestling and that love wrestling. And it's going to create a maximum opportunity instead of just one fed trying to hold them down. And, you know, you work for me and you, nobody else, blah, blah, blah. We're not trying to do that, man. It's a co-op. We're calling it the co-op. It's the co-op. It's a new concept. Hopefully it flies. And if it doesn't, man, you know, I tried. It's me really trying to do something cool for people after all these years. It's not about me saying, this is my school. It's not. It's a co-op.
You know, that's a great, it's a great mindset. It's a great philosophy. And your career, which has spanned, you know, a couple decades now, which is awesome.
Three decades.
I didn't want to give you the old man feeling, but
by the way, so 2021 will be the fourth decade because '90s, the early 2000s, the 2010s, and now we'll be in the 2012. Well, I guess 20 is right. So this is the fourth decade.
Yeah,
I've been in wrestling 4 decades,
like, brother. With that, you're putting your body
younger and prettier than everybody else too. Sorry.
But you're putting your body through a lot of stuff, obviously, as a wrestler. But the other thing that you do is that you model and you act. And as me being an actor and also having trained as a pro wrestler, one of the things I always like to do is to compare the entertainment aspects. Do you find yourself when you're on set and you're doing something, either modeling or acting, the process that goes into that, is that more enjoyable, or the process that goes into pro wrestling, being in front of the crowd, is that more enjoyable for you?
I would say the experience of being an actor and a model, and I'm saying honestly, at a high level, I'm SAG and I've been in some real movies and done some real commercials and modeling, especially, like, I'm not an Instagram model, like, I'm an actual represented model, like Ben's Model Talent Agency out of Tampa, they're pretty good, and I got some other ones. The overall experience of that, I don't think there's anything more enjoyable, because they, even if you're the guy in the background, there's been times I've been a stand-in. They treat you like a star. I got people feeding me chocolate-covered strawberries while I'm sitting there, as a stand-in. And sir, would you like some more of this? Would you like some of this? Oh, we have 3 different kinds of Gatorade. We have this, pro wrestling. They're like, there's a tray of pizza in the back. There's warm water on the floor. Help yourself now. Come on, Shell. Could we take care of everybody here? You know what I'm saying? So you can't beat that experience. It's a different industry. Yeah. Obviously at the top of the wrestling industry, WWE has very good catering and they definitely take care of it. So does AEW. And, I can't speak to other places, but, like I said, it's overall, it's a very different experience.
Yeah.
The preparation that goes into it is similar, because you got to have a battle plan, not for modeling. For modeling, man, I just show up and I'm like, all right, whatever. Do you think I'm pretty? Do you think I'm tough? Whatever they want to see, I'm just like, all right, is this it? All right, cool. And they always tell me, like, when I do modeling, they're like, oh, you're really enjoyable to work with, because, like, you don't, like, I guess regular models are shy or like a little bit more apprehensive to just like do whatever. I'm like, I don't care, man. Put my arm here, put my hand here. You want me to hold my mouth like this? I don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Not that they're really telling you, not those kind of modeling ads, but regardless, hold your mouth open like this. Right? But I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. I don't care. And I'm like, there's nothing that they're going to say that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. I'm not thinking, do I look stupid? Do I look silly? I don't care. So I think for me, there's no real preparation for that. But for the process of when you got to read your sides and you got to do lines in a show, and versus putting together a match or having a game plan of who you're going against or what you want to do out there, it's a very similar process. But experience wise, look, pro wrestling is a live performance and it's a whole different rush and it's a lot of fun. But I'd say I enjoy the calm, controlled environment of just reading my lines and people feeding me chocolate covered strawberries a little bit more.
And that's completely understandable. And one thing that really has kind of changed over time, especially right now, wrestlers, people of interest in general are more accessible because of social media. What do you think about the role that social media plays in our everyday lives, but also and especially for you as a person of interest?
I got a lot of opinions on this. And, here's the thing, man. I think it's a great concept. Like, I think there's so much, it's so good for independence. Like, I would be lying if I didn't say that social media alone has allowed me to be super successful in wrestling for being virtually unknown or virtually unseen, and just being able to put my face and my body out there and somebody's like, hey man, oh, this guy fits a look, like, oh, let's bring him in. And then, you go from there and And it's allowed me to reach and even inspire people, which I really try to do. I try not to be one of these people that shits on everything publicly. Sometimes I got to say something about something. But overall, man, I think it's, you know, social media is has become kind of a shit show. I don't know if I can say that.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And look, man, there's some whistles that should be blown. And, you know, there's definitely things that it can create for the betterment of the wrestling industry and things like that. But I also think, it goes too far, and it's so weird because for years, you're talking to somebody, I've been plagued by like being harassed by fake profiles, whether it's rival promoters, bitter students, and, wow. You know, they come up with crazy stories 99.9% of the time from fake profiles, from completely fake profiles, like not real people made the profile that day, told a fake story, blah blah blah, complete bullshit, like no truth to anything, dates don't match up, times don't match up, nothing matches up. And you know, the sick thing about social media is once it's out there, there's always somebody that's going to believe it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm a believer. Like, people always talk about, like, oh, if the aliens come, they'd have all the answers, right? And like or even this, let me take it to real life. 9/11. I think if 9/11 happened today, there would be people on Twitter in America, like, sympathizing with it and justifying it. Yeah. And I think that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that that's even a possibility, an arguable possibility, to me, is insane. And, you know, like I said, I'm not picking on any specific person or any specific thing. I just think it allows too much, you know, and it's tough to say, hey, certain people should be limited or whatever, but I do think there should be a rating system, like, internally in these things somehow, like you have to get a certain amount of likes to reach a certain amount of base. You know what I mean? Like, because I think people don't realize that. And listen, I'll tell you an inside thing, like, that's going to make me not popular right now. And this is always my problem. I say too much, but I don't care. And I you know what? I'd love to go on record saying it. I will guarantee you that a lot of these indie feds that are the it thing, or the guys that are the it thing, there's literally one guy behind hundreds of profiles bumping their stuff. And it's not obvious to a regular fan, but it's obvious to somebody in the business. And a lot of us know, and a lot of us talk about it, and we see it. And like, I get it. Hey, that's promotion, and you want to fool people. You know, it's no different than buying Instagram likes or Twitter followers or any of that. But, you know, it's just somehow sociopathic to me to be like, yeah, I have 62 online identities and I write a post from one and I retweet it from the other, or I don't agree with this guy, so now I'm gonna attack him with my 14 fake profiles. It's like, come on, man. Like, it's just, I feel like it's time everybody could spend doing something better. And I feel like long term it's detrimental to the public and to any industry, including wrestling, because all it takes is one guy with a little bit of popularity and you know, and a problem with somebody, and they can blow it to epic proportions. And it does ruin people's lives. It does hurt people, because there have been fake stories about me that really affected my well-being, because I couldn't imagine that someone would really think those things that I, you know, like, that I would be capable of doing that. Or, and like, I'm like, hey, it just blows my mind. And I'm like, man, like, this is, it's just amazing to me. Somebody can just go on social media and just say anything. And there's always somebody, whether they're a fake profile or not, that's going to believe it or be like, you know, and that's human nature. But like, wow, man, it's just too much access. I can go on for a long time. But the bottom line is, it's a bad thing, because too many people have too much access to everything.
Yeah. Well, completely understandable.
And you just laid out a beautiful social media playbook for us. So now we know that we should set up different profiles.
Yeah,
and like,
fake profiles and say that you guys are the shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like, and then get a couple good wrestlers in on it. You know, you got to butter their bread a little bit. I'm not the guy, trust me. My social media popularity is not, I am not a Twitter. It's funny, you know, like, even wrestlers that hang out with me in real life, they'll no sell my tweets. Like, they won't retweet shit. They won't like shit. Yeah. And then in real life, and, you know, and you know, I'm not going to call it out, but I do say it sometimes. You know, there's a lot of pro wrestlers in my DMs that say a lot of things to me, but they won't like my tweet or retweet it. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's kind of funny, but it is what it is. You know, but like I said, I think Twitter has, you know, I don't want to keep going on this, but it reminds me, and I'm not going to say the wrestler's name, but he's actually a Vegas guy. And, you know, he put a tweet out the other day, and he's a skinny non-wrestler looking dude. I mean, but like he has success, I guess. I don't know. I don't know him well enough. But he put out a tweet like this. Like, I don't know how anybody could use, if you're a wrestler using Facebook to get booking still and whatever, like you're out of your mind. Like if you can't get over on Twitter, don't expect to have a career. And, you know, I reposted like, dude, I got like 500 Twitter followers. And, you know, I think at one point, maybe between my two profiles, cause you know, I had the other gimmick.
Right.
And, between the two profiles, maybe I had like 1300 followers, whatever. And, it was like, you know, I've never gotten shit off Twitter. Facebook, I've gotten all the way to Japan just by sending a message and just getting somebody to look at me. And then all of a sudden I'm making phone calls, I'm talking to people, and boom, I'm in Japan. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I mean, I got to England like that. So I was like, well, you know, I beg to differ with you, man. Like, and I said, regardless of social media, your resume speaks for itself. To which his reply was something like a PDF file and so da da only gets so far. And I was like, PDF file? I'm talking about your career, bro. Your actual career. Like your resume. When somebody says, who is this guy? And they look at a clip and they're like, you know, like, well, that guy's pretty good. And like, well, maybe we could use him. And, you know, to be honest, it is kind of indicative of today's wrestling world, because I'm not trying to be mean and I'm not trying to say whatever. The guy gets booked or whatever he does, that's cool. And I'm not shitting on him. That's why I'm not going to name him or say anything bad, because I really have no ill will towards him. But I'm just saying, I clicked on his highlight video and it was very lacking, especially in realism. And, you know, the strikes were very sloppy and things were very sloppy. And I'm like, that's your highlight video? And I'm like, yeah, you might need to get over on Twitter with witty jokes and memes, because your ability is not going to carry you to the big leagues.
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, not shitting on him. I'm just saying that he could go practice, and I'm sure he could be great. But definitely, I would focus less on Twitter. I think that's a problem of wrestlers today, the younger ones. They focus too much on Twitter and you know, posting a meme or shitting on this guy or that guy or joining this bandwagon or that bandwagon, which I get it. Again, it creates popularity, generates a buzz. But, man, have something to buzz about. Like, when somebody looks at you, be like, oh, shit, well, you know. Because, like I said, I know a lot of people don't like me. And I know a lot of people love to take shots at me, and I know that it's because I'm worthy to take a shot at. You know what I'm saying? If I was a fucking bum and I looked like a bozo, nobody would want to take shots at me, because you wouldn't score any points. But like, dude, if you can get one over on me, that's good street cred for you. So, you know, people love to take those opportunities. So, like I said, instead of being offended by it, I just take it for what it is. And you know, like that's the Twitter world. But like I said, it's not all about me either. But I'm saying just like what your question was. You know, it's I'll stop going on about it. But, you know.
Well, let's kind of shift gears a little bit. Sure. So you've wrestled numerous times at Sausage Castle Wrestling, even winning a championship. Yep. Sausage Castle Wrestling tends to be one of the more unique promotions that I've seen across the country. How has your experience been working for them?
So that's actually how. Although I had been on Juggalo gatherings and everything else with Mike Busey, I had never really done anything except probably make out with some of the girls that were part of his unit. Some of the Busey beauties, if you will.
Right.
But other than that, in the past experiences, I had never met him or, you know, been in there. And it wasn't until, and I just say this about Sausage Castle Wrestling, I think it's very underrated. The production is unbelievable. The building is unbelievable. The ring is the actual ring from WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
it is. It's the actual ring from WrestleMania 3. And, I mean, the Sausage Castle itself is amazing. And so, and the person that brought me in there is actually the person that I predict in the next year to 2 years will be the WWE champion. He's in WWE right now. His name is AJ Francis. He's phenomenal.
He's awesome.
Like, I mean, like, you're talking about a guy that's been doing this like 2 years, and he can cut a promo better than anyone I've ever seen on a video. Like, if a video promo, a vignette, there is no one I will put him against anyone. In ring, he's also great on the mic, but I'm saying on a vignette, he's unbeatable. But in the ring, he's still top level. He's got star quality. He's a huge dude. Great guy, former NFL player, you know, one of the rare former NFL people that go in there and actually are awesome wrestlers and get it and truly loves the game. And I've told you, he's going to be huge. So he brought me in there, I wrestled him the first time, and then my first honest opinion was like, oh, this guy's like a giant dude. He's green. Like, I got to be careful. Like, he's probably going to rip my head off. Like, you know, I'm like, here's a dude who just wants to wrestle me because I got a little bit of an indie name. And he's like, oh, you know, evolve this. Let me throw this guy all over the place and get some highlights. And couldn't be further from the truth, man. Like, unbelievable match right from the start with him. And then just unbelievable experience. And then, you know, I'm not ashamed to say it. Mike Busey is like one of my best friends in the whole world.
That's awesome.
You know, we've become like best friends. I think he's really misunderstood in a lot of ways. I think he's got an amazing sense of humor that people don't really get, like the mainstream. But you want to talk an inspirational, good-hearted guy who's given thousands to strangers, to less fortunate, pulls for the rights of minorities and the well-being of others, like so far above and beyond anything a guy like that would ever have to do. Because let's face it, Mike Busey has millions of dollars and doesn't really need to do anything for anybody. And he's the complete opposite. He's a shirt off his back kind of guy, or a sleeveless.
When he is wearing a shirt, of course.
Yeah, sleeveless Hawaiian shirt off his back kind of guy. But for real, I can't say enough. And I'm very, you know, it sounds stupid, but in my own mind, I'm very judicious about people that I would consider calling among my best friends. And I'm saying, like, you know, and there's somebody that could, he's a hot button, hot topic guy. And, you know, somebody would say, yeah, maybe don't hit your wagon to old Mike Busey, but I would go down with the ship because I love him. And he's one of my best friends in the whole world. So the Sausage Castle and Sausage Castle Wrestling, honestly, is nothing short of amazing. All kinds of good wrestlers been through there. Joey Janela, the list is endless. I forget, you know, but Janela's a buddy of mine. I like seeing him there. He's been there a bunch of times. You know, he's a big AEW star now. And there's been tons of dudes like that passing through, even some names from not really yesteryear, but guys that, you know, like Wes Briscoe. Yeah. A lot of dudes in there I've had matches with that were awesome matches, awesome time. The environment's amazing. You know, AJ took that belt, the Sausage Castle belt. He had it on NFL Network. He had it on Fox. He had that thing everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Which is awesome exposure for it, too. And I will say, we did film. There is a TV show coming out. I can't say what it is, but there will be a huge TV show featuring the Sausage Castle Wrestling and Sausage Castle. Although I feel like they may blur or blub the name out of it. I don't really know what the word I use. They were a little apprehensive about the Sausage Castle name and such.
Why would they ever have to blur or censor anything involving Mike Busey? I don't yeah, know.
For anybody watching that doesn't know, you know, look, people always think, you know, like I said, we're using bad words here, but anybody who ever thinks about the Sausage Castle, they just think it's like some sex fest, orgy, porno thing and whatever. It's less about that. And look, he advertises hot girls because that's the demographic that we feel, and I'm doing it, but that's the demographic that he feels that, you know, would appeal to the whole environment. But the way I would explain it is it's more like, you know, Jackass. It's the generation that watched and loved Jackass. And even when you were younger and you were watching Nickelodeon before that, you're watching Wild and Crazy Kids and they're doing crazy, field day kind of stuff, you know, like dodgeball. And it's just all things with adult twists on that. And, you know, a lot of, you know, it's a little bit vulgar, but it's funny. And it's like, it's not meant to exploit or hurt anybody or anything like that. Everybody there always has a great time. And the funniest thing is, you know, a lot of the most popular celebrities in the whole world really do come there. Some that you don't hear about as much, you know, but like, you know, one was funny, like Shaquille O'Neal was, you know, live broadcasting Easter Sunday. You know, he spent Easter Sunday with us there. And, you know, who's bigger than Shaquille O'Neal? Literally.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so, I mean, it's really a magical place. And I think if more people truly knew the vibe of what went on there and how, you know, back to my mantra there, I say mantra, but I don't know the meaning of the word, but, you know, make this world exactly what you want it to be. I mean, that place is the inspiration, is the epitome of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for anybody that doesn't know, look up the Sausage Castle, look up even Sausage Castle Wrestling. It's better than you think. And it doesn't get enough. Like I said, there's not 90 million fake profiles bumping it on Twitter, so it doesn't get enough love.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. It's great. Yeah.
Without a doubt, man. And, you know, that's really good to hear that that Mike is as advertised. I mean, obviously, you know, he's gotten some notoriety from MTV and a bunch of other news outlets and things of that nature. And, you know, he always has come across as exactly you were mentioning, you know, a really just great guy that just wants everybody around him to do well. And I think that, you know, you reaffirming that is just music to my ears, because, you know, it, like you said, he is misunderstood in a lot of the realms out there right now. So that's awesome to hear.
100%, man. And, you know, like, he's a rock star, man. You know, you can look up, but, you know, he got arrested for some goofy alcohol charge years ago or whatever it is, but all like rock star shit, like nothing. Look, he's not doing anything bad to anybody. Never has, never will. Throws the awesomest parties. You know, we're all looking forward to this year's Halloween party.
Nice.
You know, which is drunk people in costumes, and the, you know, the abbreviated version is DPIC, which is also very funny. You see what I'm saying? This is yes, what we do.
Exactly.
But, good times. So he's a great dude. Good times. Like I said, honored to have ever met him, and let alone be like best friends with him. And like, I mean, I really am. I pretty much live at the castle as I please. And I think a lot of people can't say that. And you know, it's like if people really knew how cool it is, you know, it's like having the key to Willy Wonka's chocolate bag.
Yeah. And, it's like an 80-acre fucking compound that
with everything,
if you guys are familiar balls, with it, seriously, just do your own research.
Yeah, because it's got a shooting gallery, mechanical bowls, a dirt bike track, a wrestling ring, a full concert venue, slides that go into the lake now. We got swimming pools, hot tubs, football, a full football field, a full basketball court, dodgeball courts. I mean, it's endless. We got tour bus. We got anything you want. We got a music studio. We got a movie studio. Just costumes, anything you want. It's ridiculous. Axe throwing. Every time I say it, I could add 10 more things. So it's wild. And it's just the coolest thing. And yeah, you know, while we're here, we'll just throw the plug in. So if you go to MikeBusey.com, you can join for $30 a month, and then once a month you can come to a party. And guess what? When you come to that party, it's free. You get free food, free alcohol, and everything for 3 days. You can camp out there for free. There's a whole campground. There's a lake. There's bathroom, showers, the whole thing. And it's all, like I said, the alcohol. If you can't drink $30 worth of alcohol in the first 20 minutes, I don't know what's wrong with you. But it's all free. So pretty cool stuff. I'll stop talking about it, but it's definitely awesome.
As we kind of wrap up here, I know you're headed to an important business meeting, so we're going to kind of keep it a little brief, but can you provide your information so people can follow you, learn more about what you're doing, and, you know, I want people to really just check you know, besides your website, check you out on social media, because I mean, you're always doing great stuff, and that's
appreciate it, man.
So much fun, man. I enjoy following your career.
Thank you. Well, I would say, you know, go to my Instagram. That seems to count a lot. You can just get a quick look at me, which is, you know, the Brian Idol. And I think Twitter is the same, so that handle's the same. And then Facebook, I'm just under there, Brian Idol. Facebook's my day-to-day. Honestly, that's my favorite one, because you can do the most on there. So I like that one. You can share people's videos easy with some comments, and there's no limit. And that's why I like Facebook. Yeah. I don't know. What I was going to say, though, you guys are out in Vegas, right?
Yep. Correct. Yeah.
So that's why you're called the Vegas Bad Boys. So I will be out there. I don't know if it's open to the public. I don't know what the deal is, but I'll be out there for FSW next week. Was it October 10th?
So,
I think it's the 9th or the 10th, one of those days. I got it written down. I just can't remember. So I'll be out there, though, so keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, it would be the 10th, because the 11th is Sunday.
I think it's a Saturday, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we do a show with we do the DeFalco Files with Joe every week.
There you go. Well, yeah, I just talked to him like a few days ago, so yeah, I'm in awesome. For that. And they got some other stuff coming up that I can't quite mention yet, but it's in that area. And
perfect.
So it should be going on, which is cool for me, man, which is cool and scary at the same time. Because to be honest, I've had opportunities to wrestle, and I haven't really wrestled since this pandemic began. I did one small appearance, you know, I guess call it a tune-up, like last week or whatever. And the guy damn near blew out my eardrum, so I'm still half deaf and feel like I'm underwater. But it's cool. But you know, that's what a tune-up is all about, man. You know, you get in there, you take a lump and see if you can keep going. But it's a little scary for me because although I'm in great physical shape, you know, I haven't exactly been in that ring, you know. You know, because I'm training people. I mean, I get in there, but I'm not working right. Full matches. If I was doing that at this point, my legs would fall off, man. You know, it's funny. I feel like a lot of people, you know, I always go through that thing as a trainer. Like sometimes, like, I'm like, all right, man, you know, take the bump. You do this. And they're like looking at me like, why don't you do it? And I'm like, man, I've been doing this so long. If I got to take any more of these, like, my arms are going to fall off. You know? And then, you know, once in a while, I got to get in there and I got to prove it. And then everybody goes, oh, wow, man, I had no idea. Like, but, you know, it's, that getting in that ring shape is a different thing. So it's a little nerve wracking for me. Cause I'm like, man, I got to hit it hard this week. I got to make sure I'm ready. I don't want to go there and look like a bag of shit. So hopefully I don't get too distracted and I get it done. And I look good in there and I do my thing. I think I'll be all right, but you know, you never know. If life ties me up this week, I might show up there looking like an old man and be shitty. But let's hope not.
No, man. The community out here, the people that Joe uses in the talent that is present, you'll be taken care of, you know?
I'm sure.
You'll be fine. You'll be totally fine. And the fans out here are just, you know, some of the best fans you could imagine, especially the fans who are coming to these FSW shows. It's such an intimate, nice little setting and a very professional setting. And also, FSW is going to be finally again back on TV here in Las Vegas. So it's, you know, it's something that I think that you're going to have a great time. And the more you can do out here in general, man, dude, this place is the best.
Yeah, it could be big. I know. So I think, you know, that's why I'm going to try to make myself a little bit of get myself some FaceTime over there for a little bit. You know, I heard, oh, TV's coming on. Let me go on down. What's got going on?
Yeah,
so anytime something like that, I think there's a good value there. And I think it's a good brand. And, you know, I've been meaning to get in there for a while. It just didn't work out, you know, schedule wise. And, you know, but now things are wide open and there's way less. And so it's like, whatever, man, like I had the time, like, you know, I hit him up. I said, you know, you want to work? Wanted to work together on something, and he said they would love, you know, we'd love it. And I was like, oh, I'd love it too. So like I said, sky's the limit, hoping for the best. And I'm sure it'll be a great experience, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Awesome.
And I love Las Vegas. I love gambling, so I'll probably go broke or win everything.
Well, definitely one of the two.
We appreciate.
So if I call you guys on Zoom, make sure you got a couple bucks you can wire me. bring some In-N-Out burger and pick me up because I'll be on the side of the road penniless because I lost it all at one of the casinos.
Brian, as we say goodbye, one quick thing I got to ask you to do: since you're a model, can you do your cold blue steel look?
I mean, I don't know if it's blue steel, but I only have one look. Dude. You can see it in every one of my pictures, and it's just this. It's just, that's it. That's all I got, bro.
That's perfect. Like it.
I think it's a little more dramatic with my eyes. Looks like. I got sad looking eyes, and they love it. They're like, oh, that's it. That's the guy we're looking for. So
that's awesome.
Awesome, brother. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming on, Brian. And everyone listening and watching, thank you very much. And please remember to download, subscribe, share, review, and take in all the content from the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast. Until next time, thank you, everybody.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.